Welcome, Abundant Babe. I have been waiting for you, and I get the feeling I know you pretty well already. Because like me, you are the visionary, the eternal optimist, the one who embraces all aspects of her divine feminine while being grounded with ambitious and driven energy. You've got big dreams, and you're ready to make it all happen. Well, let me tell you, soul sister, you've come to the right place. The Abundant Babe podcast is designed for goddesses just like you. We will talk about purposeful business, personal growth, mindset, money, manifestation, success, goals, all with a splash of spirituality and a tad of silliness. I know you've got it in you, and now is the time, beautiful. Trust in yourself and take action on what myself and other Abundant Babes share in this sacred space. And believe me, babe, your life will continue to change and expand. I'm your host, Viola Hug, multi-passionate entrepreneur, mentor, and coach. And my purpose is to help visionaries manifest everything they want through alignment, spirituality, and tangible strategy. It is so great to have you here. Now let's get into today's episode. Hello and welcome back to the Abundant Babes podcast. I have exciting news because I have a return guest to the podcast, which as you can guess means I freaking love her. And I'm so excited because there's been a lot of evolution between the two of us since we first jumped on, because she was actually my first interview ever on the Abundant Babes podcast, which by now you might already be guessing who she is, but she is just like the cosmic queen, like knows everything with astrology and human design and brings it into life into so many different ways, whether she's like teaching around communication or relationships or so many different things. She is an author, an Amazon best-selling author at that, to the book, The Ego Death Experience, How to Boldly Face Death and Achieve the Ultimate Rebirth. And she's also a podcaster. Her podcast is called Emotional Authority. And she was also previously, exciting, featured on TEDx Link, featured by TEDx Lincoln Center, Elephant Journal, and of course, my podcast, What? So yeah, she's from Florida. Welcoming back Tiffany Purdy.
That's me. Hi, everybody. So excited to be here.
Yeah. So super excited too. So I just love the conversations that come out when we just start randomly talking about stuff. But for those people who may have not heard you on the podcast before, can you kind of give like your version of the introduction? Like obviously that was like a professional style and intro, but how would you describe yourself?
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because I feel like the way that I describe myself as I learn new things and evolve, it becomes just a little bit different every time that I explain it. But, and I love that. I love that I get to grow, that I get to do whatever I want. So I am, I'm a human design coach and I work with people, with couples and with families. And, I help people to learn how to be more conscious, emotional communicators, not just with themselves, right, but with the people in their lives, and to understand energy dynamics, right, to understand group dynamics, because I know that we've talked a little bit about human design in the past, and you may have shared human design with your audience a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you on talking a little bit more about this, because the audience right now is either going like, oh my God, seriously, you're talking about human design again? Or they're just like, okay, finally someone can explain it. Like one of two things, but I'm hoping it's the latter. And so we're gonna do some more conversation around human design today. And I'm so excited.
For anybody who is listening, who may be like, oh God, like I hope this makes sense. For what it's worth, that's probably the thing that I hear the most from people, from clients, from strangers, from just people randomly messaging me in my inbox that, you know, they found me on YouTube or they found me wherever, is that I make it really easy. I make it really accessible. Yeah. I make this information something that you can use in real life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So true.
Yeah. If you've been a little confused by it, if you've been, you know, why do we need to know this? I actually, you know, unpopular opinion, controversial opinion, I actually don't think that you, like as the person, as the individual, I don't think you really need to know your human design or that you really need to know what's inside it or how to read it. if you've had someone to explain it to you a little bit. Because really the most important thing, if you are just super fresh to human design, if this is the, even maybe the very first time that you're hearing about it, human design is a very complex system. It involves astrology and the Hindu Brahmin chakra system and I Ching. And, you know, so there's a lot of different modern and ancient sciences that combine to create the human design system. Mm-hmm. And so obviously with so many complex languages and so many ideologies, there's a lot to get into. There's a lot to study. It can be very easy to get lost in it and to fall down the rabbit hole. And, you know, it can get to be like just a bunch of, for lack of a better word, like fluffy, like words that don't really mean anything. Mm-hmm. If you're not integrating and applying what is inside there, right? Mm-hmm. Because when you have lived in your human design long enough, with consciousness of just your type, your authority, and your strategy. Those mm-hmm. are really the only three things that I think are necessary for a person mm-hmm. to know.
And like, just one quick point on that. Like, I love how you said like consciously living with it, because this is like the biggest thing when I first like came across human design, and still to this point, exactly what you're saying has had the biggest impact for me, is knowing my type, strategy, and authority. And same with anyone. It's like kind of the most important thing about it. But it's like, just for everyone listening, it's like when you're not consciously living with it, you can actually be conditioned and kind of like fighting against your own design. So it's kind of like things don't flow as well when you're working kind of against how you're naturally designed in your energy. And that's why when you actually know what those things are and you're just kind of like, oh, okay, that's what it is, like then you can be more conscious about the way you're living. And then after a while, like for me anyway, I found that suddenly it started becoming more natural as well. Like at the beginning it was a learning curve, and then suddenly it's just like, oh, I get it. Like, this is just me now.
Well, you would have a really like interesting learning curve, because you being a splenic manifestor, I mean, being a manifestor already, you are such a small portion of, you know, the population. It's only 9 or 10% of the population that are manifestors. So I do find that with my projectors and my manifestors, the learning curve is definitely like bigger, right? Like it, or maybe longer or whatever. Because the world is not like designed for you. Like really, you know, 70%+ of the population are generators or manifesting generators. Mm-hmm. So the way that society is created, the way that systems and structures are built, the mentality of what makes a quote good human being, right? Like being a hard worker is a very generator mentality, you know? So someone who's a manifestor, who's just supposed to go start a bunch of things and initiate, but not ever necessarily finish almost anything, you know, like that's like what the whole, like that's gotta be such a trip for a manifestor to accept. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the reasons that I try not to let people fall too far down their human design rabbit hole right at the beginning, because mm-hmm. when you learn and really, really trust, not just your type, because the type is just how we work, right? And you've had an episode about that before, so we won't need to go too far into the types. But as far as our authority and our strategy, so our authority is our decision-making mechanism. For a lot of people, for probably the majority of the population, that gut feeling that people talk about, that is your human design authority, like giving you a yes in the moment.
Yeah.
So, or a no, right? Mm-hmm. So our authority tells us what the decision is, and then our strategy tells us when it's go time, right? When we've had the green light, when the decision is now ready to be executed. Mm-hmm. So when we bring that knowledge to the forefront, and when that is what we really focus on, and you know, for the first month or so at least, when I'm working with people, that's all we focus on. I don't really like to go too far into their design, because what we find after, right? So a month or two after fully integrating your type, authority, and strategy, and maybe giving you a few hints about where you may receive unwanted or, right, like conditioned energy from other people, maybe giving you a couple of hints about that. But ultimately, what I find is that the person at the end of that month or 2 months already knows mm-hmm. everything inside their human design. Their human design is, at that point, it's no longer guidance, it's confirmation. It's, oh yes, like mm-hmm. that is true. Like you're totally right. Wow, that's so me, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that I feel is a more powerful initial approach to even like stepping into the space of human design. Mm-hmm. If you've been studying human design for a while, that's totally fine. But just remember that, you know, type authority strategy ultimately is king and will tell you everything else that's in there that you mm-hmm. need to know.
And for those of you listening who want to know, like, you're like, what am I? How do I find out? Literally just Google like human design free chart. And the website that will pop up is probably Jovian Archive.
Yeah. Jovian Archive or My Body Graphs.
Yeah. And you need, your birth date, your time, and your location you were born, like the city you were born in. And that's all you need. So if you don't know your birth time, you need to call your parents right now and like look in your Plunkett book or whatever you need to do to like figure out your
time. And if not, there is, now I will tell you, cause I have a lot of customer or a lot of clients, right? Who come to me and they don't have their birth time, or maybe they'll have like I have a family alchemy session next week with a woman and her husband, and she brought her two kids charts too. But her husband's birth time is like within an hour window, which is great. If you can get it within a 2-hour window, that's fabulous. If not, go to someone like me, a trusted astrologer who knows how to do a natal chart rectification, because we can, try and use some of the, life events that you've had, to track back the transits that have happened in your life and figure out what your birth time is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That stuff blows my mind. Like, what the heck?
It's crazy. Well, yeah. You know, and it's because it's basically right. Like when, like what it's doing is it's tracking back like the horoscopes of your life. Right. Mm-hmm. But like in a major way. So yeah. A lot of things that we would see in a natal chart rectification, you know, would be like marriages, children being born, right? Like I had Pluto transiting my moon, my natal moon, right? Or maybe I have that backwards, one of the other. So with the moon being representative of the mother in the chart and Pluto being like death and rebirth transformation, I actually almost died giving birth, and I had the transit telling me like that's exactly what was happening. So mm-hmm. even if I didn't know my birth time, if I had been able to put in, you know, that I had this very extreme situation happen when I gave birth and I almost died, we might be able, and I was, you know, this age, it was this month, this year, like I know when my daughter was born, right? Yeah. So we would be able to track back when that transit happened, and that would then give us a little bit more understanding of when my birth time would be, because it would also tell us perhaps what house it's in and yeah. so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Yeah. Astro talk.
So cool. Yeah. I love it. It's like, and I think like, even if you don't understand the specifics of the words, you can understand the point of what's happening right here. People can find it at your birth time.
yeah, that's what I like to do, right? Like, even if you can't fully understand the astro talk in the middle, I like to give context in between.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so if you want to find out your chart, you can, like, pause this or just head to your browser right now and look that up. And if you know your birth time, perfect. If not, figure it out. And then you can kind of, like, listen in and see like what your type and authority and strategy is. And so like type, there's 5 main types, right? The 70% of the population, like you were saying, is generator, manifesting generator. Then we have about 20% being projectors, about 10% being manifestors, and then about 1%. And I know that like does not equal 100, but roughly 1% is the reflectors of the population, right?
Can I just say, so like, whatever, this is totally a random, just because... whatever, I guess. So I have a friend who's also, fun fact, a manifester, uh-huh. Who was on the Temptation Island reboot this last season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So do you know the premise of Temptation Island? Are you familiar with the show?
I feel like it's self-explanatory. Really, it's reality TV. And
it's awful. Yeah. So it's this horrible, trashy reality TV show. It's not horrible. It's hilarious and very, it's entertaining. I had a good time watching it. So what happens is there's four couples, mm-hmm. and the four couples get separated. And so the men go to one house and the women go to another. And the women's house is filled with single men. And the men's house is filled with single women.
And they don't know who's in the relationship.
No, everybody knows. Yeah. Everybody's fully aware that their job is to tempt the dating people. So that's what's about, and they all go on dates and whatever. And so basically they're there to like test their relationships, right? It's a terrible
Sounds
idea.
Legit.
Just whatever. Anyway, but because I happen to have a friend who was on the show, who was a manifester, so she knows, you know, a little bit about human design. She was able to get some of the information, right, for some of the other people who were on the show. So of the four coupled women on the show, one of them happened to be a reflector.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit. I was like, she's such a unicorn. I was like, watch this. Everybody's going to fall in love with her because like they can't help it. She's literally just a mirror for everything that you want to see about yourself. Right. Like yeah. people love being around reflectors because they just make you feel good. Mm-hmm. And so this girl, when they went to go like, right, auction them off or whatever, like who wants to take so-and-so on a date? Every single guy raised their hand, and like, not for nothing, but like of the four girls, like in today's like societal standards, she's definitely not the one we'd be like, you know, the hottest or whatever yeah. we'd want to say. Like she's a beautiful girl and she was, you know, funny and had a great personality. And there was a lot of things to love about her. She's a fucking unicorn of a reflector.
Yeah.
Right. But it was just so funny watching exactly what I said was going to happen. And so, yeah, that's actually one of my like side quest visions in life is that I want to like work as a consultant for like reality television, because I think I would be so good at putting the right people in the house for drama.
Yes. Yes. That'd be so funny.
Wouldn't it just like I can consciously create the energy of drama yeah. if I want to.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my goodness.
Or not, so which is ultimately like what my purpose is, right? Is the opposite of that. But it is family alchemy, which the idea of creating family wherever we are. Wherever you go, there's family.
Yeah. Yeah. So talk to me a little bit more about that. So I guess like what you say, there's like the aspect of understanding yourself, right? Which there's the different types. There's the authority, which like you were saying is kind of like your gut instincts in making a decision. And then there's your, what's it called? Strategy, which is how to know when to act upon it.
I call it your green light.
Yeah. Your green light. I like that. That's a really simple way to explain it because, just now I'm side noting again, but like my husband's a projector, and for a projector, the strategy is to be invited. And it was like, it's so funny because we were like talking about like how he can really live a strategy, because he does have a lot of ideas and stuff. And what we realized is his purpose is just to kind of do what makes him feel good, have these ideas, but only act upon them when someone else is just like, hey, have you ever thought about doing this? Or do you offer that? Or, you know, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then that's the green light for him to act upon it. And so because at the beginning we're just like, what? So everything he does, he always has to be invited. It's like, no, he can still have ideas, but if he's really like living in his like truth and his energy and just like doing what he enjoys, the right people are going to request what he
has. Are going to ask about it. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
There you go. Yes. There you go.
Yeah. So that's like a really fun little way to do it. And then for generators and manifesting generators, it's like to respond. So, you know, responding to stimuli.
And it's so important, please, because we focus so much on, thank you for bringing this up. Actually, we focus so much on the invitation for the projectors because it is so weird. We focus on initiating for manifestors because it is so weird, but the response gets so often confused for the generators because people think that they're talking about the sacral answer, right? No, that is not the response. That is your authority. Mm-hmm. You are responding to an external something, right? Yeah. And I call it, I use the analogy of like being in a video game, right? Mm-hmm. And when you accept a side quest in a video game, it's not like the monster just pops up right in front of you, like you've got to go find it, mm-hmm. right? So you go on about your business, but maybe because you said yes to the side quest, there's a person standing on the corner there that wouldn't have been there if you hadn't otherwise said yes to the side quest.
Yeah.
So when you go up, when this person starts talking to you and starts pointing you in the direction, that is the external response. Oh, it's go time. My side quest has started.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's really right? Good. So yeah.
It's an external something that reminds you, aha, the game has started.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. That's so good. And that's like, I always say as well, though, that's like, there's so many simple ways that can come through. It can come through someone asking about it, someone posting about it. It can come through you seeing like a synchronicity, someone you know, putting a Facebook post up exactly of what you were just like thinking about, like, you know, it can come
through. I love that you say it like this. Thank you so much. And I think that because you, maybe it's because you have a manifestor, right? Like you are such an interesting, or not interesting, but like one of the smaller percentages of the types, maybe you're able to like expand your brain around, you know, this stuff a little bit more. But like, I always, especially for people like Nick, right? We're talking mm-hmm. about waiting for an invitation, mm-hmm. right? I try to remind people, like, we're in the 21st century. Like, think about like what it means to feel invited. Like, yeah. What does it feel like when you swipe right and like the dings go off and it's like, oh my God, like they already swiped right on me, right? Yeah. Like, what does that feel like? What does it feel like when you're sitting at a bar and like someone sends you a drink and like you're just at the bar with your girlfriends and you're having a good time? It doesn't mean you have to say yes to the drink. It doesn't mean you have to say yes to the guy, but that feeling that you're feeling of you being your best and living your best life and then getting an invitation, that's the feeling that we're looking for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that.
And it can look like anything. It doesn't have to be a formal invitation. It doesn't have to be chiseled in fucking stone.
Yeah. It doesn't need to be. I invite you to do this with me.
Tiffany Purdy cordially invites Viola Hogg. No.
Okay. Yeah. Glad we cleared that up. So there's this.
So thank you for saying that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'd say that's like a pretty simplistic overview of that. I mean, wait, reflectors, in case we have a unicorn listening.
Oh, yeah.
How do reflectors respond?
So actually, let's talk about, yeah, so reflectors, and then there will be some other people. So there are some projectors, some manifestors who don't have an authority.
Yeah.
So they have an outer authority, right? So that'll be your ego manifested, ego projected, no inner authority, okay? So that means that you have to talk to other people.
Yeah.
Really. And it doesn't mean that those people have the answers. It just means that you're going to get clearer on what you're saying when you talk at another human being.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause maybe you're going to like, oh, wow, I'd really like to, I don't know, launch this offer. But then you start talking to somebody and, you know, oh, you know, maybe it would be better if it was 4 weeks instead of 8 weeks. Or, oh, maybe it would be more impactful if I started this, you know, in 2 months when this is over. Or, oh, maybe this is a 5-year thing, right? Where this is a much bigger, you know, this isn't right now, this is for later. That's the kind of realizations that someone who has a projected authority
mm-hmm.
will start to have.
Question on this, because I'm splenic authority.
Yes.
As is Nick. And I find it's really interesting because the splenic authority is kind of like this really like small whisper. It's like this whole body kind of like tingle, this little whisper, but it only works in the now. And it's something that like so frustrated me at the beginning because I'm like, how am I ever supposed to make decisions for like, when should I launch that? When should I launch that? When it's like, it doesn't work like that. But what I found is interesting is that when I talk about it, when I'm like talking about something and I'm in the moment of feeling the vibe of what I'm talking about, that's when I notice my spleen respond. Like, is that how you have experienced it with other splenics before? Like what do you recommend for splenics?
I love that. I will actually, so I do want to just say really fast. So as just to answer the other question about reflectors,
yeah,
it's a 28 day, right? It's a 28 day cycle. So just wait on it, sit on it. And I know that sounds hard. I have a friend who is, she's a book publisher in New York, right? And so she's got a very like, it's a job that you need to jump on things, right? Like when there's a decision to be made, or when you want to sign somebody, or when someone pitches an offer and you want it to be yours, like you have to say yes to it, right?
Yeah.
And she is a reflector. Mm-hmm. She oh my God, all of her clients, though, all of the books that she puts out are so good.
Yeah.
Because she takes the 28 days because she really like marinades in their energy. She mm-hmm. really just like takes in their whole story and all of her open centers. And it's just like, how can I make this the best? Mm-hmm. Right. Cause she's an editor. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's a holy experience to watch, honestly. Yeah. I just think it's incredible. It's just, it's someone like really being who they are. And I think that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So about splenic authority. So, you know, it's so funny that you say this because even the sacral, I find people who are sacral have a similar life experience to you. Mm-hmm. In that it's hard to trust the first response. Mm-hmm. Now, I feel like this is like a grass is greener moment though, because like me as an emotional authority, I'm like, yo, could I please get a clear yes or no ever? Yeah. in my life? That doesn't happen for an emotional authority, even though I am a manifesting generator. So I have both my spleen and my sacral defined. The yeses I get in those regions are almost like, I trust nothing. Like literally mm-hmm. as an emotional authority, I trust nothing. And mm-hmm. I lean very hard into, the strategy.
Yeah.
I let myself pretty much just write down any idea I get and then just leave it. Mm-hmm. So that's just me. But for someone who is splenic or sacral, it's just really learning. I think the best advice that I can give is to get really clear on the questions that you're asking. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? So if you're asking yourself questions that could have, you know, convoluted answers, you're going to get a convoluted answer inside. Mm-hmm. If you're asking yourself very clear yes or no answers, like, do I want to do this? Is this right for me? Is this right for me right now? Mm-hmm. Right? And so even if you want to follow yourself up to a question where you get that idea and you're feeling that tingle and you're like, oh my gosh, like this is obviously a yes. Like, is it a yes right now? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right? And yeah. For you also, there's like you being a manifester with a splenic, right? That of course is a little bit different than the Nick being a projector, right?
Yeah.
Which is again why I say that the only three things that we really need to know are the type, authority, and strategy, because you can literally be like have the same decision-making mechanism, right? Mm-hmm. You can feel the same feeling without working the same, without mm-hmm. taking action the same way. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's yeah. it's interesting. I think another really important thing though for someone who is a splenic authority to know, and this is where we're getting more into talking about connections and the penta, is understanding who you are and who you are not.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I was just going to say before, like before I went on this little side note tangent, but it's like, that's the interesting thing is like, it's who you are, but it's also about how you interact with the people around you and how other people's energy interact with you. And for me, like this was one of the most interesting things to learn, because like when I said at the beginning, how like with human design, there's like areas you can be conditioned in. And I grew up with two manifesting generator parents, and all me and all of my sisters are all like one of my sisters is also a manifester and one of them is a projector. So like all my siblings are undefined sacral, and both we grew up with sacral defined parents.
Wow. That's such a karma family. Like
weird, eh?
That's, you know, now that I have moved away from like more into, like I work with individuals, you know what I mean? Like I work with like one-on-one with people, but now that I've been working with a lot of groups and a lot of families, and I mean this, when I talk about family, family alchemy, like I'm talking about the concept of family wherever we go.
Yeah.
Right. And that the world would be a better place if we treated everybody like family. Mm-hmm. So like the people that when I choose, you know, a job, for example, those people in that space become my family. Yeah. Right? Like when I choose a friend group, like those people become a family, right? Mm-hmm. And we experience that in so many different areas of our lives.
And I also think like, you know, when you're a coach and you're running a program, it's like that is a family, like you and your one client. Yeah. You and your coaches. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, right? Like that's a big part of what I do is I have like when I'm working one-on-one with people, it's basically like I've just got like a folder of you and everybody that you know, right? Your husband, your children, your coaches, your clients, your parents, your siblings, right? Like mm-hmm. let's crack it all open. Like why did things happen the way that they did? Why did you feel the way that you did at certain points in time growing up? How did that impact the way that you be and live and feel today, right? Mm-hmm. How did that impact the way that you build relationships from here on out, right? And so like what you're talking about is something I see in a lot of families, whether it's actually like the traditional, right? Like we grew up with these people, we're related to them kind of family, or whether it is, you know, coaches, clients, whatever. Mm-hmm. There will be some thread that is tying us all together. Mm-hmm. So interesting. I'm in a mastermind right now. Mm-hmm. And my coach, so there, it's me, him, and I think that there are like six of us. And so the first six, including him, so it was five and plus him, that were all in the container. And this is so crazy, you guys. Like we were all 3-5 emotional authorities. When I say 3-5, for people who are not, you know, mm-hmm. who are not, we're talking about like another element of human design now. We're talking about the profile, mm-hmm. Which we don't really need to go too far into that right this second, but it's just for that to happen is so weird. Like that's crazy. And he's not even a human design person. So mm-hmm. it wasn't even a conscious thing. He was an anchor. And I just literally attracted a bunch of people mm-hmm. that were just like him, those 3-5 emotional authorities. Yeah. But it's been like really beautiful.
My other sister, who's a projector, she's also a 4-6, same as me, profile.
So she's a projector. So how many, all right. So if all of you have the open sacral, right? So how many of them are emotional authorities?
But both my other sisters. So I'm the, and both my parents. So like I'm the only one with open emotional, my entire family.
Yeah. And so that's actually, that's what I work with people. That's the center, right? That I work with people the most, you know, most of the time, just cause that's my like language mm-hmm. Is the emotional language, right? Mm-hmm. So that's my podcast, The Emotional Authority. We're talking about the emotional center. And so like in human design, you know, when we talk about, you know, are you an empath? Like in human design, we can actually look at this and tell you like, yes, you are. No, you are not. Like, yes, you are empathic here. No, you are not empathic here. Mm-hmm. There are 9 centers in human design. And one of those centers is the emotional center, right? And so for Viola to be living in a house, like there was a lot of healing for me to recognize that I was an emotional authority raised by a woman who, right, I'm emotional authority with defined will. She has a totally open emotional center, totally open will center. Mm-hmm. She had no idea what to do with me, right? Yeah. Like she did the best she could, but like she, you know, she had me medicated. Like she basically was just like, fix her, right? Mm-hmm. And that is a very normal reaction for someone who has an open emotional center to have. You probably ask this question so many times growing up with your siblings or your parents, and it's the question of what's wrong, what's the matter, mm-hmm. You know, how can I help, right? And I get that, and it's, you know, it's not most of the time people who have an open emotional center who are asking questions like that, it's not with ill intent, right? Like you're not trying to remind people of the fact that they have bad feelings. Like you're trying to help them, but also you're trying to relieve yourself of the discomfort that you're feeling in your auric field, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
You're having a fine day, and then all of a sudden you are in the same room with someone who's in a low, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Why did my good day just turn to shit all of a sudden?
When we were like younger, and especially in like kind of like the teenage years, where either like me or one of my sisters was in our teenage years, it was always like I was always the sensitive one, like, and everyone was always just like, oh, you always just take things so personally. But I was always the mediator too. Like, I always tried to like stop people from fighting. I'm like, and when other people fought, I would literally feel like I was going to throw up when my family was fighting. Like, I would get so sick from it. And it was just like, cause I had like a pretty crazy time with my family, like in our, I don't know, like around 10 to 15 years ago, like that was just really, really hard few years. Mm-hmm. And so people were always fighting, and I would get physically ill sometimes from it.
I really appreciate you saying that, because my daughter is open. I'm in like kind of the opposite situation where I'm the emotional authority. My boyfriend is open. My daughter is open. My daughter's father is open. Mm-hmm. His girlfriend is open. My mother is open. Right. Mm-hmm. So I live with a bunch of open emotional centers. Right. So, yeah. Regardless of which side of the fence we're on, it's really important for us to drop judgment of emotions, to not necessarily, right? Like, we don't, whether we're an emotional authority, whether we're open, we don't need to identify with emotions. We don't need to judge emotions. Emotions are a secondary response, right? And so if you're an emotional authority, the emotion that you're feeling is one of two things. It's either literally just you're in a wave, and it's an indication that this is your intuitive signal to take a beat, to relax, to not work on anything, to not make any new decisions, to not take any new leaps. Or it is the byproduct of a negative thought, idea, or belief system that is coming up to the surface and giving you a feeling. So either way, it's not something to judge. It's just something to observe. And so then, for someone who's open, it's basically the same thing. You're either feeling someone else's wave, or again, you've got a negative thought, idea, or belief that, and in my personal opinion, I don't even really like to tackle whatever might be under the feeling when I'm in the feeling. And maybe that's just the emotional authority response. I just sit with it, and I let myself move out of judgment. And then when I'm no longer in the feeling, I'll come back and ask myself, okay, so was that feeling attached to anything at all? Mm-hmm. And if it was, how can I address it and rewrite it in loving truth now that I'm not in my feels?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so it's the same thing, right? On the opposite spectrum for you.
Totally.
And this is why it's so important for us to, we have to know ourselves first, right? Like, you had to know that you were open, and you had to know what that means, know how to navigate it, know how to live it. And then you can have that conscious exchange and interaction with other people. And, oh, like, when, you know, I'm in the room, you go to whatever holiday with your family, and they're, you know, they're them, and you can just laugh about it now. Like, you don't have to, it's not your job to be the mediator, you know. If it's appropriate, if they've asked, if, right, there's so many situations, right? Like, when my boyfriend comes home and he feels that I'm in a low, it's not his job to fix it. It's not his job to cheer me up. He just sits down and he gives me a kiss and he asks, can I do anything to support you right now? I'm like, no, okay. And that's it, right? And so that's when we're talking about connections and you know, the conditioning, right, that we grow up with or that we experience when we're in an energy field of another human being. And then, of course, when we get into the penta, it's that much more, it's that much stronger. And so,
yeah. And the penta is three or more people, right?
Three or more people, right? So when we've got two people, that's when we've got what's called a connection, right? And so that's, you know, your channels like meeting and, you know, connecting, or, you know, centers amplifying and, quote, filling in the other one. Now, when we get into the penta is when we have three or more individuals in the same space. And I firmly believe that it doesn't necessarily mean that we're in the same like physical, like we don't have to be in the same room. For example, the mastermind that I'm in, right? Mm-hmm. We all made a conscious like contract with our energy to be in this collective container together, right? Yeah. So that is a penta. So regardless of whether we're actually like in it or whether we're just a part of it and experiencing it, the result, you know, the results are the same. The experience is the same. Mm-hmm. And I invite you to actually just like observe yourself in past experiences. Like, how have you, like, do you generally interact the same when you are in a group situation? And I can tell you straight up, you know, just my personal experience, when I am in a group of three or more people, if I'm not being directly addressed, I'm more or less stop talking. And it's not, I'm not having fun. I'm not being antisocial. I'm not being a wallflower, right? Or anything like that. I literally, this is something I've done for as long as I can remember. I just sit back and I observe. I listen to conversations, you know, whatever. Like if someone directly addresses me or pulls me into a conversation, I engage, I interact, I share my thoughts or whatever. But generally speaking, I don't. And when we look at the different pentic fields that I belong to, that really does describe my energy in a penta, right? And so regardless of whether this has been school or like school functions, school groups, whether it's been at work, whether it's been like in friend groups, parties, networking events, like literally it does not matter. Church, right? Yeah. Any situation that you could find me in, this is pretty much what happens. And as soon as someone directly talks to me, right, like I turn on, I'm engaged. Like I, you know, it's not like I'm a shy person or that I don't feel like I belong in any way. That's just my behavior. Like yeah. I just sit back and observe. Yeah. And so I think that it's really important for us to know, to acknowledge, right, all of the pentas that we belong to and acknowledge how we can just let ourselves be who we are again, right? Like be who you are as an individual, be who you are in a couple, be who you are in a group, right? Mm-hmm. Like this last, was it last weekend, the weekend before, I went to a pool party, right? I live in Florida. And so I went to a pool party and it's like at a yacht club. And, so I went with my boyfriend and a bunch of his friends were there. And so I didn't really know a bunch of these people, but one of the girls that I had just met, she comes up to me and they're all like in the pool and like whatever. I didn't want to go swimming that day. Like I just didn't feel like it. And she was like, just come sit with us. Just come sit with us. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, I knew, like, I felt in that moment, like, it could be, right, if I was any other person, if I didn't know my design, if I wasn't aware, I might feel a little, like, pressured. I might feel a little, like, peer pressured, right, to go do something that I don't want to do right now. But I was just like, thank you for the invitation. I appreciate it. Go have fun. Like, I'm chilling, right? I'm having a great time. And so I think that it's, for me, that's been really healing. I don't even know if healing is the right word, but just relieving, right? Uh-huh. That I don't have to do anything. I don't have to do anything. Whether it's as an individual, in a couple, in a group, I get to listen to myself and do what my body tells me to do.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's so cool. So if people are wanting to like learn more about their penta, it's really like, well, unless you know quite a lot about human design, it's probably like a good idea to get someone to have a look at like the chart of the group that you're in, right? Because am I correct in thinking that, because it's not just about who you are and how you're reacting to other people, but it's also about how the charts, like, does it include like channels and how the gates and all that kind of stuff like mix together as well when you're in a penta that kind of like define the energy?
Absolutely. And like, so I won't get too far into this because like the penta chart is actually like totally different and it's like bars. There's like, it's a whole different ball game, but But yes, it helps to know who, right? Like, you'll generally behave the same way in a penta, right? But the different people in the penta definitely can create different dynamics in the penta, right? Like, just because you behave the same way in a group doesn't mean that the group itself is always going to be the same, right?
Yeah, got it. Okay, right? That's like, really interesting.
There could be people who have, right? Like, we could be in a group with five people who have defined wills, right? Uh-huh. And like, the energy of that group will be very different than, you know, a group of people who don't.
Yeah. And I was also just like imagining like people, like a whole bunch of people with open head centers get together, like the kind of like ideas and brainstorming and like stuff, you know, just it'd be so funny, like the kinds of conversations that come up depending on the centers of the people you're with.
That is one of my favorite things. Like, you're in my head, because this is how I am. Like, anytime when I'm interacting with another human being, when I'm just listening to conversations on television, like, now I can't watch a documentary, I can't watch a television show without dissecting their human design or their, you know, what I think their human design would be. And God bless the internet, because a lot of those people do have their birth details on the internet now. And so I do get to actually just look up people's birth details and their human designs.
Yeah, it's so fun. Oh, well, this has been so fun and so interesting. Like, I hope everyone listening's also like understood it, and you can go back, like, if you don't already have your chart, go back and like listen to the tips and stuff with knowing what you are and those different types. And if you want to catch more of Tiffany, tell us how everyone can connect with you.
Yes. So Instagram is where I've been hanging out most days recently. And so that's at Tiffany Purdy, which Tiffany has an I at the end. Eventually I won't need to say that. It'll be like Beyonce and we all just know. that Tiffany has an I at the end. Instagram, my podcast, Emotional Authority, is a weekly podcast where I'm talking about emotional, communication through the lens of human design. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much where you can find me right this second. I guess the only other thing that I have right now going on is the Astromind. Which is just my membership program for people who I really feel like this is important to say, because it's not just for people who want to know their human design, and, you know, what their astrological chart means. It's for people who have the intention of learning how to read them for pretty much everyone in their lives, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's family or whether they're coaches and they want to learn how to apply this in their business. Because please, 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 I can't be the only person talking about this, right?
Yeah.
We definitely need more people sharing the language of human design with the world. So that's what the intention of the Astromind is. It's just to educate people about it, who are more interested in learning about human design, rather than, you know, maybe just coming and booking a session with me and getting that like targeted answers.
Yeah. Awesome. I love that. Okay. Well, everyone, please go like do the screenshot, tag Tiffany and I on Instagram, so we know that you're listening. And I'll put all the details of that in the show notes. I'll also include a link for the chart if you haven't already got your chart.
Yes.
Because that's definitely important. But is there anything else that you kind of wanted to finish off, or any last tips or knowledge or anything like that you wanted to leave the audience with, Tiffany?
I guess the biggest thing that I want to share with people is that who you are and everything that has happened in your life has all happened on purpose, and we can see it. One of the ways that I like to talk about astrology and human design is to talk about, it's, you know, it's the language of God. God doesn't speak in English. God created the stars, and that is how we can see, right? Like, what's happening. We're like, you want to know the bigger plan? It is available to you.
Yeah, that's so cool. I love that. Okay. Well, amazing. Thank you so much for joining me again for another episode. And for those of you that are really interested in this conversation, make sure you go head over to Tiffany's podcast as well, Emotional Authority, so you can get hooked up to some weekly chat on human design and all the epicness that comes along with this. All right. Catch you later, everyone.
Bye.